Good morning. Good morning, church, and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. And for those who are joining us on Facebook and YouTube, welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. We are streaming today from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Let's give a hand for our pastor. Amen. And today is a very special day. It is Baptism Day at the Tabernacle. Somebody say Baptism Day. So we thank the Lord for everyone who has decided to be baptized today, and we will celebrate with them later on. And I'll ask that if you're in the sanctuary with me, if you would rise for prayer. And if you're at home, you can also rise as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this another day, God. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see another day, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your protection, Lord. We thank you for who you are, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for being a way maker, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for being a miracle worker, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for just being our everything. Father God, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, oh Lord. Lord, if there's anything that's like you, that's unlike you, oh God, that is in us, that is within this building, Lord God, we ask that you would take it away, Lord God, and usher in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father God, we pray for all of those who are being baptized today, Lord God. We pray that you baptize them not only in water, but with your Holy Spirit, Father. Father God, we just thank you, we thank you, and we thank you, oh God. Father God, we ask that you will open our hearts to hear a word from you today, oh God. Bless our pastor to bring us a word today, oh God. And Father, we ask these things in your name. Amen. And you can remain standing. I'll be reading the scripture. It's from Psalms chapter 1. Verses 1-3. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." We ask that you would bless that verse, O Lord. You may be seated. So, like I said, it is Baptism Day. So in the spirit of on time, we're going to move forward in the service. And right now we have a treat for us today. We are going to ask our sister Leah Reed to come give us a selection. And following her selection will be a sermon by our pastor, Jonathan Ford.
Good morning, church. Good morning. It is so wonderful to be with you once again. And as it's always, how good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so it's always a blessing to come together. And so as you are celebrating this morning, that outward expression of that inward confession that was made, this hymn came to mind, Saved, Saved. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. For I'm saved by his power divine. Saved to new life, sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. Oh, he saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. For I'm saved by his power divine. Saved to new life, sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. Oh, when poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come on to me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. For I'm saved by his power divine. Saved to new life, sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved.
Can we give Ms. Reed another hand? Leah Reed, Bible Union, God bless you. So glad for her being here. So glad my man of God, Brother Joseph Reed III, is here as well. We thank God for you both. Amen. Take care. And with that, we'll turn our attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I am going to invite you this Sunday morning to turn to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, and the verse 26. We'll look at this familiar story. While we're doing that, I am going to ask Brother Tyrone if we can hand those out. And really, what I wanted to do was try to get one on every other seat. You know, so as you hand it out, others are coming in, they can get some. I wish I would have got that out before service started. But while he's doing that, we're turning in our Bibles to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter. For those that are joining us online and are streaming in, you have that passage. Hopefully they have it up on the big screen. And also this handout you will get after service in the post-service email that we do every Sunday. Every Sunday we put out a post-service email. So if you're on our distribution list, you will get this. You just won't have it here for the portion of the service, but you will have it for your personal use. Amen. So Acts 8:26, I'm also going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Amen. As you grab those passages, I am going to invite you to stand with me this Sunday morning. As we read through the Word of God, we're going to cover some ground, both out of the New and Old Testament. Acts 8:26, and we'll read the entirety of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Amen. Thank God for our worship leader this morning, Sister Courtney Scott. Thank you for your service. If you're in Acts, the 8th chapter, the 26th verse, familiar passage. Also want to thank Sister Kim and Sister Lillian for their faithful job on Wednesday night, leading us through additional information on water baptism. Verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert or desert area. And so he arose and he went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now he was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Amen. Let's add to the witness out of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, familiar passage. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and one acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearer is silent. And so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, and when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied, and by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Amen. This morning I want to talk from the subject, look, there is water. Words of the eunuch as he was riding in his chariot on his way down from Jerusalem, and as Philip began to explain the word of God to him, and most assuredly he covered what happened on the day of Pentecost and the preaching of Peter, where he encouraged all those that were listening to repent and to be baptized. And in this dialogue, as they were coming down the road, the eunuch saw the body of water, the river, the lake there, and he told Philip, look, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for an opportunity to gather around your word in this place, in and among your people. We thank you for the opportunity we have. Thank you for this, another Lord's Sunday morning. Thank you that you have awaken us again with life, health, and strength in our bodies. We thank you that you have set our affection toward the word of God. We ask now that you would give us ears to hear and that you would give us hearts to obey the very word of God. Cause us to be transformed by the word of God, and that we become less like ourselves and more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you this day for all of our candidates for water baptism. We thank you for their life, their dedication, their commitment, and their open expression of being born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So bless them and keep them. Strengthen the church. Cause us to grow, and that more and more would come to accept you as Savior and be baptized. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. The eunuch said, look, here is water. And while this is an evident passage or story on water baptism, as I began to study it more and more throughout the week, I began to realize that it is a great example of how to lead someone to Christ. In these 10, 12 verses that we have here, you have a great outline on how even today, as contemporary believers, modern Christians, 21st centuries believers in Jesus Christ, here in this ancient text is a great outline on how we can lead someone to Jesus Christ. Amen. And as believers, this should be our primary objective, right? Is to bring others to Christ. He said, go ye into all the world, right? Preaching and teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, go and enlarge my kingdom. And so that is the task that each one of us have, has been placed upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so while the baptism is there and it is appropriate on this day, I'm going to come at this, with the perspective of looking at how to lead someone to Christ. Amen. Does that work for everybody? Okay, great. Despite the Belizean heat, chills ran down my spine and tears welled as the first chords to Good, Good Father broke the silence. And those precious souls began making their way through the crowd. And there in this little town of Santa Elena, they came forward to dedicate their hearts to God until 30 stood together with arms wrapped around each other. What miracles God had accomplished in and through the students in just 1 week. In March, Andy Wade, a teacher at the Highland Academy in Portland, Tennessee, and also a missions trip coordinator, had organized a project with the La Loma Luz Adventist Hospital to complete the first phase of their new mission house so that volunteer doctors and other groups could more readily serve that community. The mission trip team was composed of 24 students and 6 adults. Santa Elena, Belize, was my first mission trip when I was a student at Highland Academy, reflects Mr. Wade. Since then, I have returned 4 times. It's incredible to see how the investments we've made over time have made such a difference. On Wade's original trip, they built the first classroom for the Adventist Primary School. Today, they have more than 1,000 students between Eden SBA Primary School and Eden SDA High School. Over the years, those building projects have created so much more space for them to learn and to grow. It opened up the way for students to come to know Christ, and years down the road, for a week of spiritual emphasis to take place in both schools. Highland students were excited for the opportunity to lead a series of meetings. It was decided that their messages would center around the character and goodness of God. For it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance and a true relationship with Him. The students diligently prepared and practiced their sermons, their skits, dynamic illustrations, and their special musical selections. The genuine smiles and warm reception of 550 high school students melted my heart, shares Natalie Hamilton, who was a senior and speaker for the week of spiritual emphasis. Although I worried that the cultural differences would impede the messages, their acceptant responses prove that sharing Christ transcends all boundaries. As the students presented day after day, the Holy Spirit came alongside their efforts, and there on a beautiful Friday morning in the little town of Santa Elena, Belize, they gathered by the river to witness 6 baptisms into the kingdom of God. In conclusion, there is no greater joy than leading someone to know and to accept Christ Jesus. Amen. This article I found was written by Carlay Benge, and I just want to thank her for writing this article and making it known, and also letting it serve as a reminder to us that, in fact, the greatest joy as a believer, as a Christian, is leading someone to Christ Jesus, right? For all of us, it should remind us of the day what? We came to know Christ Jesus, right? And the joy that we felt and we experienced knowing that we were no longer condemned by sin, but we had been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's look at this passage now, this story we have of Philip and the eunuch, and let's see what we can learn, some techniques, some tips that can help us today as we share the word of God and lead others to Christ. So if you have your Bibles, the 26 verses now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. One of the things that I want to lift up for all of us is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is always working to bring people to Jesus Christ. Okay? You got to know and you've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is always working to bring those people whom God has predestined or pre-chosen for salvation. The Holy Spirit is always on the lookout for them and is always working to bring them to Jesus Christ. Okay? The Word of God says in John 6:44, these are the words of Jesus, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay? And I will raise him up on the last day. And the way and the process by which the Father draws someone to his Son, Jesus Christ, is by and through the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's how you came to know Christ. That is how anybody will come to know Christ. It is the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that he is using to bring others to know Christ, okay? So I just want to lift that up, so I don't want us to think that all the weight is on us. That if we don't bring them to Christ, if we don't get them saved, then, you know, yikes. No, it's no yikes. It's no yikes. The Holy Spirit, God's plan and God's kingdom is too important to leave to feeble human hand and human initiative, right? Right? But he proves his power by working through substandard and less than capable human instrumentality. Are you following me? Okay, I was just talking about all of you guys. Maybe y'all didn't realize that the feeble hands. You know what I mean? Because when it comes to leading someone to Christ, when it comes to being a witness for Christ, oftentimes if we would look at our own selves, we would say, yeah, we're not up for the challenge. We're not up for the task. But thanks be unto God, he has not left it up to us only to the extent that we what? Make ourselves available. Okay, so the question when it comes to leading someone to Christ, the first one that must be asked and answered is, are you available? Okay, if you're available, the Holy Spirit can and will use you. The other thing I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit, because he is the one working to bring people to Christ, he will always create opportunities for you to witness. This is important. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit will always create opportunities for you to witness. You simply have to listen. I wish I had a real church. Again, Jesus Christ already said, no one comes to me save the Father draw. Right? Right? So let, okay. Everybody step back. So let's all of us just take a deep breath and just have a little confessional moment. None of you decided to give your life to Christ. None of you woke up one Sunday and said, you know what? I'm going to go to church and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior this Easter. I'm going to wear my pink dress. I'm going to wear my white shoes. None of us did that. Jesus makes it very clear out of his word when he tells his disciples what? You did not choose me. You just can't be plainer. He said, I chose you. Okay? He chose us. And so it's not an act of our will or anything, but it's God having already what? Predestined, predetermined that he would like for us to live in eternity in the kingdom of his son. And he has set in motion a plan to bring about his own will, right? And the Holy Spirit is leading that charge, right? He's leading. He's drawing men and women to Jesus Christ. And as a result of having the lead responsibility, he is the one that opens the door of opportunity for you and I to witness to the world. Okay? And all we have to do is listen. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 69 says this. Paul says in his letter, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What he's saying is that we had different roles. Different roles. He said, I planted early on in your life. Apollos came along. He added to it. He watered. But all through all of it, it was God who gave the, it was God who was causing you to grow. He said, so then neither he who plants anything nor he who waters. He was saying, guys, we don't have to take any, we can't take any credit for us. It's not us. It is the Holy Spirit working through us on the lives and hearts of other people. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one. Well, wait a minute. You just said it was Apollos and Paul. Those are clearly two what? Different people. So how is it that Paul can now comes and says, but he that waters and plants are one? The oneness is what? The Holy Spirit. Different people, different human instrumentality, but yet what? The same one Spirit. Not a different Spirit working through Paul, not a different Spirit working through Apollos. The same one Spirit, but what? Working through different instrumentality. And as a result, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, look how good God is. God comes out and says, clearly, I can't trust you. That's why I'm sending my Holy Spirit after Jesus go up, because I got to get this has to get done. This is not optional. I've got to enlarge my son's kingdom before the end of time. So I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to ensure that it gets done. Now, he's going to work through you, right? Feeble hands. Unqualified human instrumentality. But look what he says here, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We still get paid for the work we do, even though there was nothing about us that did it, right? It was the Holy Spirit, what? Working through us that made it happen, right? But yet God says, I'm still going to bless you. And here's why. Verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers, right? We work in conjunction alongside with the Holy Spirit to execute God's plan for bringing those that he has already pre-chosen, predestined into the will of God and becoming saved from their sins. Amen? If you got it, say I got it. So the only thing I want you to get out of here that I want you to see in Philip's life, Philip was available. And when he heard the word of the Lord, he what? He responded. He just listened. Nothing fantastic or awe-inspiring about this verse. He heard the angel of the Lord say, go down along the south. Instead of going home this way, go that way. And he just listened. And verse 27, he arose and went. Right? I'm not highlighting this, but if you're going to be an effective witness for Jesus, you got to be obedient. Right? Can't question why this. Instead of looking at everything as something being wrong or out of order or out of place, right? As witnesses, let's look at them and always ask ourselves, is the Holy Spirit up to something? Did my car break down for a reason other than the fact I haven't put any oil in it? Right? And if that's a personal problem. I had the notice in my upper corner. I should have went and got the oil. But could the Holy Spirit be? Could the AAA man who's coming to assist me need to hear a word from the Lord? Could it be that I'm in this hospital not because the sickness is overtaking me, but could it be that the sickness has brought me into the hospital to be a light or a witness to someone else? Along this hallway, this corridor, who does not know Jesus, right? We've got to start looking at it that way, thinking about it that way, because I'll tell you something. Here's a note if you want to take it down. The Holy Spirit is always working. He never takes a day off. Unlike us, he doesn't take vacation. He doesn't take every fifth Sunday. He's always working. We have the witness. Jesus Christ told the Pharisees what? He said, look, I'm always working. He said, I'm always working because when I look at my Father, guess what? He's always working. And the proof we have that he's working is what? The sun came up. The stars are in the sky. The fact that you feel that breeze coming across your face is proof that what? God is still working. That the sun is still working. So in like manner, what? His Spirit, what? Keeps on working. Okay? And so we just got to make ourselves available. Let me keep going. Time is of the essence. Here we go. So he arose and he went, and he comes, a man of Ethiopia. And this guy was a eunuch. And though he was a eunuch, he had great authority. And now he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Like many people, the eunuch was drawn to God and had a desire to worship God. But he didn't know how and was met with religious rules that prevented him from doing both. Here's a guy, he's not Jewish, right? Not familiar with Jewish, but something is drawing him, right? He goes to Jerusalem, he goes to enter the temple, right? But because of his condition, he is prevented from worshiping. He's prevented from coming into the inner courts of the temple, right? He's forbidden to take part in the religious ceremonies, right? So all of these roadblocks from the religious establishment of the day is put in his way. When it came to the world, he was very successful. He was the head of the treasury, the head of the finance department for the Queen of Ethiopia. So he was very successful in the world, but being very unsuccessful in his pursuit of God. Not by any fault of his own, right? But because of the religious rules that the leaders of that day had put in place, right? So let that be a word to us that as we're leading people to Christ, let's try to take the rules out of the way. Right? They can get saved on some day other than Sunday, right? They don't have to be at the altar to come to know Christ. Wherever you lead them and their heart breaks, that's the altar. If you're at a SEPTA bus stop, that becomes their altar. If that's the moment that Christ breaks through their heart, if that's the moment that the Word of God pierces their soul, if that's the moment that the Holy Spirit draws, that becomes their altar. That whole place becomes a sanctuary unto God. But what? You got to be willing to listen. You got to be willing to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's always up to something. So he comes to Jerusalem to worship. And now verse 28 said now he's returning. He's returning because he's unsatisfied. He's not able to worship. They realize his condition and they turn him away. And returning, he's sitting now in his chariot. And he's reading out of the scrolls the prophet Isaiah. So he was drawn to the word of God, but had no one to explain it to him. He knew the importance of seeking God through scriptures, right? Something keenly alerted him to that need, that even though he couldn't get to God through worship in the temple, he still could get to him through the word of God, the scriptures. But he could not understand the scriptures without a teacher, okay? And that teacher is both the human preacher and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all of thy getting, get an understanding, okay? People, children of God, this is where we have an upper hand. Our understanding of the word of God, right? Because this world, right? In spite of all that we might say for it or against it or in favor of it or not in favor of it, people today they have so many questions, right? About life itself. So many questions about what is going on in our world today. And we have the ability to point them to the word of God. Watch this. Not for us to leave it with them on their own, but to come alongside and explain the word of God to them. And as we explain it, the Holy Spirit begins to work on their heart, in their heart, and through their heart, as we help to explain the word of God. And I want you to get this about explaining the word of God. Jesus said this, a young guy came up to him and said, good teacher, good rabbi. And he responded by saying, there is none good but the Father. Right? There's no one good, no good teacher, except God himself. And I say that because there are no better or worse witnesses. We're all the same. The wonderful thing for us, regardless of our skill level or ability, the Holy Spirit makes up the difference, right? So we don't have to know Hebrew to get it over to them. We don't have to understand the Greek background on it to get them to. All we've got to understand is that the Holy Spirit is leading this yoke of the Christ, and I better say something out of the word of God. If I can just do that, the Holy Spirit will make up the hedge. The Holy Spirit will make up the difference. And when their heart breaks, it's not because of your ability, talent, or skill. It's because the Holy Spirit has broken through. Are you with me in this? Right? So it helps us, one, on the one hand, as Paul says in the Roman letter, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but also on the other hand, it helps us to be encouraged to say that, look, I don't have to be a pastor or have a PhD in divinity to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. All I got to do is make myself available, keep my ear to the ground so I know what the Holy Spirit is up to. You follow what I'm saying? And have an understanding of God's word. If you're getting something out of this, just say, I'm getting something. So here he is now, verse 29. Then the Spirit said to him, look at the Spirit, just in a conversation with Philip. Now, this is not an ongoing conversation. I don't want to give you the impression Philip's walking around and he's in this constant conversation. These are, how would I describe? These are little spiritual nudges. That's how I would call it. Just a little spiritual nudge. Philip was already on his way home or wherever, And the Holy Spirit just said, go this way. No vision. The earth didn't shake. He was already going to go home. The Holy Spirit just said, go this way. And he listened. He went, he goes home this way. So now the Spirit encounters him and them. And then he said, now that you see this guy, he said, go up to him. Right? How many of you ever had the Holy Spirit tell you to go up to someone? Reach out to someone. You're like, I don't even know why I don't know them. They don't know me. Right? This is not even my role or function in the church. I don't work the altar. But yet, I see what's going on in them, and something is urging me or drawing me to come up alongside them. Who also comes up alongside? What? The Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, comes up alongside. And he's using you in this moment, in this is to come up alongside someone. Are you with me? We're trying to lead somebody to Christ. So he comes up alongside. He overtakes his chariot. And so Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and just simply asked him, do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? God will always make a way for his people to hear his word and to know his son. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been talking about all morning. Romans 10:14 says, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they then believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be what? Sent. Who sends them? The Holy Spirit sent. The Holy Spirit sent Philip. Right? And the Holy Spirit is sending you. I don't want you to think this is a Philip story. No, this is a you story. Right? That happened then, and all the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to do more of that now. Philip's dead. Okay? That era's over. I need new Philips and new, watch me preach, Filipinas. Look at somebody say the pastor's preaching now. That's worth the whole sermon right there, okay? And so he comes along and he says, do you understand what you are reading? He says, how can I unless someone guides me? Let me say this about witnessing. Regardless of how much they are church bashing and Bible bullying, people are interested in the Word of God. I've done my own research, my own survey. I know it's true. And I know the world is Bible bashing. And I know that they're putting the church down and less are going and less are this. Let someone get in trouble. The first place they want to go is to the Word of God or to a man or woman of God. And while they may be putting everything else down, they're not putting that down. Let them get sick enough. They're calling who? You. You pray for me. No. I want to come to your church this Sunday. You follow what I'm saying? So so let us not give in to this worldly wisdom that everything concerning Christ is going down. It is in fact quite the opposite, right? Things concerning God are going up. And this is what I love. He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And so he's in this passage in Isaiah. In the interest of time, I'm going to jump down. We read all of Isaiah 53. So you have all of that in context. I'm going to pick it up at verse 34. It says, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Verse 35, if you have your own Bible, I want you to underline this. Okay? If you have a church Bible, just try to memorize it. But if you got your own Bible or your own phone, put it in yellow highlight and underline this verse. This is important. Verse 35. This is the whole point out of being a witness for Jesus. The Bible says, verse 35, then Philip, first thing he did was what? Opened his mouth, right? Look at somebody and say, you got to say something, all right? Go the other way and tell them, you got to speak up, all right? Gone are the days of undercover Christians in the church. God don't need any undercover agent. He don't need any secret spies. You follow what I mean? God needs everybody out on the front line, bold, correct, with a uniform that says, I'm fighting in the army of the Lord. Right? And if you're fighting in the army of the Lord, the first thing you got to do is what? Open your mouth. Right? Instead of being a silent bystander. So look, so Philip opened his mouth, and this is important, beginning at this scripture, began to preach Jesus to him. The note I got in my thing here is start where people are. Don't try to force people to come to where you are. Don't tell people, oh my goodness, you need to come to church with me this Sunday because my pastor's preaching a series on X, Y, and Z. Who said they're going to make it to Sunday? And you're going to put off the plan and will of God to do it at a time that is more convenient for you and get this, that takes the responsibility off of your shoulders. That's why you want them to come on Sunday. But had your ear been sensitive, you would have realized that the Holy Spirit wants to save them right now. And he doesn't want to use the sermon series your pastor's preaching. He wants to use the very question they ask you that you know where the answer is in the Word of God, and he just wants you to go there and start there. If things go well, you might be able to bring them to church on Sunday, but if things don't go well, you have what? Already planted a what? A seed in their life. Why? Because you listen to the Holy Spirit. And you started what? Where they were. Right? You didn't try to force them to some other place. Right? Force them into this. You don't have to discuss baptism with them if they're not interested in getting baptized. Right? Start where they are. What are they dealing with today? What challenges are they facing today? What questions do they have today? What issues are they grappling with today? And the word of God said, Philip started right there. He said, that's where you are? He said, that's where I'm going to be too. Get this. We're almost finished. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 9:19. This is the Apostle Paul. You know this, but let me rehearse it. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more. Get what he's saying. He said, to the Jews, I become a Jew that I might win more Jews. To those that are under the law, he says what? I become under the law that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, those who are lawless. They don't have any God anywhere. They're doing what they want, when they want. He said to those, guess what? I came as not under the law. Do you see what he's saying? Paul said, it doesn't matter where I am. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've authored more New Testament scripture than any other person in human history. But he didn't start there. In order to win them, he came to what? Wherever they were. If they were Jews, he came Jewish. If they were Gentile, he approached them from a Gentile perspective, right? And began to find common ground in the Word of God. He started there and then what? Led them to Christ. And some of them, he never led to Christ. As he said previous, some of them, he just what? Planted the seed. Apollos came along and watered. Peter and John came along and watered. Sometimes their parents came along. Paul would often lay a seed it was Timothy, who so much of his spiritual foundation didn't come from Paul. It came from his mother and grandmother. They never led him to salvation, but they what? Laid the foundation. Scripture after scripture, night after night, just getting the word of God into their son and grandson. such that when the man of God came along, that word of God was quickened in him. Right. But what? Years ago, his mother laid the foundation. Years ago, his grandmother planted the seed. Why? Because they made themselves what? Available. How did they know what to do? Because they listened to what the Holy Spirit was saying. And in time, what? God got the increase out of Timothy's life. Are you with me? Now, this I do for the gospel's sake. Paul said, this is why I do it. Not because I want to be a chameleon or try to do, no. I do it for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker with you. Here it is. We're done. 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Look at somebody and say, you ain't got to do a whole lot. Because I told you the Holy Spirit is in charge of what's happening, right? The Holy Spirit is orchestrating this person's being drawn to Christ. You don't have to do a whole lot. So on the one hand, because you don't have to do a whole lot, don't try to do a whole lot. Don't overcomplicate it, right? Keep it simple. Start where they are. Use the Word of God. Let me tell you the great thing about using the Word of God. You never have to get in an argument over the Word of God. But you know what you will argue until you're blue in the face over? What you said. If you said it, meaning it was your idea. If you said, if I were you, this is what I would do. If you offered your what you thought about the situation, they'll argue with you until the end of the day. And then when it don't work, they'll come back and blame you for it. But if you just put out the Word of God, just use the Word of God, all they can ever come back against is what? The Word of God. That's what I just told you what the Word of God said. I just told you when I was in that situation where I went in the Word of God. And that passage really blessed me when I was in a similar situation in my life, right? So if you're going to witness to someone, keep it simple. And that's why we're talking here. I gave everyone a handout on the ABCs, right, of salvation, right? Look how Philip just keeps it simple. He said, look, they went down the road. He said, here is water. And then Philip, then look, he said, what hinders me from being baptized? You know what he's saying? He's saying, why can't I get saved right now? Do I have to wait for my next trip back to Jerusalem? Do I have to wait for the next Sabbath to get saved? He's saying, look, I've been listening to everything you've been saying. And if I believe the word that you just said, the Word of God said, I need to get baptized. He said, here is water. He said, the Holy Spirit had him ready to get saved right then. And remember when we started verse 26, he's on the road to Gaza. And remember that last phrase in that verse? It's a desert. He got saved in a place and nobody was around. No church choir, no church pastor, that's the Word of God. Jordan just gave. It was desert. There was nobody on this road but Philip, the eunuch, and a body of water. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? I got everything I need to get it done. He said, everything I need is right here. I don't need to take him back to Jerusalem. I don't need to get him in the temple. I don't need another scroll. He said, everything I need to get this guy in the kingdom of God is right here. And oftentimes, that's how it is in our lives. Everything the Holy Spirit needs is already in place. But we look at it and we overcomplicate it. Let's get them to the church. Let's get them to the pastor. Let's wait till the revival. No, everything you need is in place. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Look at somebody and say, he that has ears, let him hear. So the ABCs, 30, he says, look, Philip said, look, if you believe with all your heart, he said, you may in fact be baptized. The eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right? Just look at someone and say, it's a wrap. That's it. You win. Let's get up. Let's get down and get in this water. You're in. It was that simple. Right? Right? He didn't have to, the Jews, when the males cut their foreskin, what is it called? I'm drawing a blank. Circumcision. He didn't say, no. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to get back. You got to get circumcised first. You got to get cut first. Here it is. What? Religious rules, right? Being put in place. The guy's ready now. The Holy Spirit has him at the point of decision now. Don't you and I begin to now put religious rules in place or our personal convenience or inconveniences. I'll tell you another secret. When the Holy Spirit is using you to lead someone to Christ, it is often at inconvenient times for us. I'm just telling you what I know. It's often at an inconvenient time in your life. And that's why I said oftentimes we shortchange the process. Why? We got somewhere to go. We got someone else we're planning to be with. Something else we're planning to do, right? And we override the Holy Spirit, right? Thinking that, oh, I'll get back to it. Oh, I'll call them next week. I'll call them on Monday. You call them on Monday and what? They're in a different place. Now that receptivity to the Word of God has what? Gone away. You call them on Monday, they say, I don't want to hear it now. But Friday night, you had them. The Holy Spirit had it right there. All you had to do was just lead them across. Just say you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You shall be saved. Do you follow what I'm saying? Here it is. We're wrapping it up. These are the ABCs. Keep it simple. All right? You've got the handout. So here it is. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot, stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then he arose and came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, everything else in this thing may not have seemed like a physical miracle, but this was. The guy put him under the water, lifted him up, and then was gone. There's no doubt about that. The fact that he went on the road to Gaza, the fact that he came up alongside his chariot, the fact that he started working out of the Word of God where he was. But now, what this miracle, what I like to think of it, in the early days of the church, as men and women were baptized, one of the things that they looked for was the speaking of tongues. Because it gave a degree of evidence that they had been converted. Right? And they needed that evidence to begin to share with the world so that they would know that these people have been converted and by signs and wonders, this speaking in tongues. So all throughout the book of Acts, you see them after they're baptized, they laid hands and they begin to speak in tongues. Well, you say, well, we don't speak in tongues now. Well, we don't require that evidence. Now, it needed it then because it was the infancy of the church. They had nothing else to point to, nothing else to relate to. And so the Holy Spirit gave them a sign, right, to prove that they what? They had gotten what? The real thing. Wasn't a counterfeit. Wasn't somebody acting. Wasn't someone who just got baptized because their girlfriend was getting baptized. But no, they got baptized because there was a real conversion in their heart. And to prove it, the Holy Spirit spoke up. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so here it is. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches this message on the day of Pentecost, he said, when they heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this is what happens, or what can happen, when we present the ABCs of salvation. Right? When they accept, believe, and confess Jesus Christ. Don't you know all that other stuff we can work out once they start coming to church? We ain't got to put that whole cart in front of the horse. You know, they ain't got to pray seven times a week now. Pray this one prayer. You pray this one, we'll work on the other stuff. We'll work on getting you baptized. We'll work on getting you in the rest of the Word of God. But let's keep it simple. The Holy Spirit has brought you to a moment of decision. Why not be obedient to His voice? Why don't I be obedient and lead you there? Why don't you be obedient and accept what He's doing in your life? Right? If you got it, say, I got it. Good. Verse 39. We're done. It says in verse 39, it caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Okay? He went on his way rejoicing. I started out by reading that introduction in that article where the young lady shared with us that the greatest joy is in leading someone to Christ. Now, it's a great joy for those of us that have the privilege of leading someone to Christ, but it's also a great joy for the person who has what? Been led to Jesus Christ, right? Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit, right? Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy we shall draw water from the wells of salvation. If you're not happy or experiencing joy in your relationship with Christ, You might want to check that out, right? Because we ought to, I hope you guys feel better about Jesus Christ than the way, compared to the way you're looking at me now. Because you guys look tired, sleepy, I mean, you guys, you know what I mean? But there ought to be some joy in your right relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Look at somebody and say, get some joy. Right? The Isaiah, right where, in another part where the eunuch was reading, he says, with joy, we draw waters from the wells of salvation. Get what he says? He said, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So the joy is not in, they didn't get joyful once they got the water. Drank the water or used the water for whatever they were going to use it. Isaiah, the prophet said, they got excited and began to experience joy when they thought about what this water was about to do in their life. Do you follow what I'm saying? So on their way to the well, on their way to the fountain, their steps got a little quicker. On their way up the hill to the well, their feet got a little lighter. Why? They start to experience joy. Oh, when I fill my bucket with this fresh, cold, refreshing water, how much of a blessing shall it be to my house when I finally get this water? How much of a blessing will it be to my kids and them when I finally get this water into my bucket and can take it back home and feed my sheep, feed my lambs, give it to my chickens? They got excited. We used to say it in the old church. I get joy when I think about what He's done for me in your relationship with Jesus Christ. There ought to be more joy. Look at somebody and say, more joy. I know there are rough days. I know there are hard times. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm going to give you this. Sermon's over. I'm going to give you this. Here are some things I would like to see take place in our church in the next 12 months. 52 new visitors. 24 new members to our church. 12 new Christians, new converts, new believers. 12 new baptisms. That's what I'm looking for in our church. So what does that mean to you? And what does that mean to me? The goal for each member. Then we have a responsibility to invite one new person to church each month. Can we do that? Do we have enough people on our friends list and on our Facebook and on our Instagram that we can just, now look, I'm not saying they gotta come. What I'm saying, I'm asking you to invite them to come, right? And the reason I don't need you to make sure they come, that's not your job. Whose job is that? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Stop doing the Holy Spirit's job! Just invite them to come. And if the Spirit is drawing them, guess what? They'll call you back. They'll call you back. Lead one new person to Christ. That's why I went this way with this sermon. So that you are prepared with the ABCs of salvation. Right? So that you don't put it off or make it someone else's responsibility. Right where you are, you can lead someone to Christ today. Won't you do it? And then what I want you to do on Sunday is tell me about it. When they do come, hey, Pastor, this is my friend Tyrone. He accepted Christ on Thursday night after our bowling league game. He gave his life to Christ and decided, that's when I want to meet your friends. After you have allowed the Holy Spirit to use you and plant the Word of God in their heart. Lead one new person in Christ. Encourage one new Christian to be baptized. One of the amazing things about this year, and one of the reasons we're moving so quickly with the baptism, is Pastor Rogers was baptized. And we don't have a pool, we use his pool. And so through a conversation, he was like, yeah, I'm baptizing in July. I was like, oh my goodness, that means what? We got to baptize. And I didn't want him to have to, you know, load up his pool a second time. I said, can we join you? He said, yeah. So we kind of rushed into it. 3 or 4 weeks ago, we started, hey, if you want to get baptized, we're going to have water baptism service. What has been so wonderful is to see how many people, in spite of our rushed approach, the level of excitement around water baptism week after week kept increasing. And I didn't preach on water baptism. I didn't do a Bible. All of you just kept getting excited. Yeah, because what? The Holy Spirit's what? He's always working. He's always working. The first week it was just one. Then it was two. Then it was four. Then it went, you know, why? The Holy Spirit just kept what? Working. He just kept working. And as a church, we just kept trying to do our best to what? Keep up with what He was doing. Right? So now we're having more Bible study on baptism. Why? Because what? The level of interest. We're starting right where what? Where the people are. Right? Right? And that's what we got to do. And so we want to encourage each one. We can lead someone to be baptized. So many people are confused in their relationship with Christ. So many people got saved years ago but never been baptized. Never knew they should be baptized. You follow what I'm saying? Well, that's where we can come in with an understanding of the Word of God. And then lastly, every member of the church, whether you're here for in-person worship, whether you're joining us online, you have to get involved in the life of the church. It's one thing, I'm a preacher's kid. I've been in church all my life. One thing I know church. Because I've been in it all my life. I've seen people come and I've seen people go. And I tell you, the number one reason people go, and it's not what you think. Oh, they left because of something. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. No. That does happen, but that ain't the number one reason. You know why people come in church and then in time leave church? They never get connected to the church. They never get connected to the body. Anything that is connected to the body and is getting blood pumped into it, guess what? It's what? It's alive. It's moving. You know what they told me when I was in the hospital? They said, Doc, you got to get up out of here. That's the number one form of recovery. You got to get out. Get home and start moving. The longer you stay here and lay in this uncomfortable hospital bed, you're not going to get better. Get your hips up, limp out to your whoever's coming to pick you up, get back home and start living again. It will help you recover faster than what you're doing every Sunday when you come to church. Every Sunday you come to church and you're just laying in the bed. You want everybody to bring you something. You want everybody to fluff your pillow. You want everybody to lift your bed up. When the real heal, this is what, when Jesus healed the lepers, you ever read that text closely? The text says they were healed as they went. He didn't heal them. All right, everybody healed. Everybody tell, oh, Lord, we've been healed. Now go to, no. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And when they turned, they were just as leprous as when they came. But some, each step was just what? A little bit more faith. And it was, I knew it was faith because if it wasn't faith, they would have stopped. They would have turned to the left, but they kept walking in the direction that, and little by little, they kept getting healed. Kept getting better, kept getting stronger. The leprosy kept going away, away, until finally they got to the priest and said, oh my God, we've been healed. The people who go often, they often go because they're not connected. Find a way. And I'll give you, look, here it is. If you don't know how to get connected, call your pastor. I got 11 things that need to be done right now. I mean, literally right now. We can stop the service. I'm like, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to call that. There's stuff to be done. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's always working. It'd be different if he took Sunday off. Then we could take Sunday off. It'd be different if he took Friday off. Then we could take. But because the Holy Spirit is always working, that means in the body there is what? Always something that needs to get done. Somewhere with somebody. That's where we come in. That as we get connected to the body, we make ourselves available. What? To lead others into the body. If you got it, say, I got it. And then lastly, just a reminder, last Sunday's sermon, work hard at loving the saints of God. Work hard at loving the strangers to God. Work hard at loving those who suffer under the eyes of God. They suffer, we suffer. Work hard at loving your spouse. And work hard at loving the presence of God. I believe that if we do these things according to the word of God, our church will grow substantially. Raise your hand if you want to see the church grow. Raise your hand if you want to see the body of Christ enlarge. Isn't that what Jabez said? Lord, enlarge my territory. This is too small for me. It's too small, and I've been dealing with it for too long. Lord, enlarge my territory. Give me the increase that you promised me a long time ago. Cause me to enjoy the fruit of the gospel. To see those I've witnessed to. Those I gave out of my own, took out of my family's mouth and put in their mouth. Lord, allow me to see the increase. To see them come to salvation. To see them be baptized. And to give their life to Christ. Amen. Look at somebody and say, look, there's water. Down at Pastor Rogers Church, there is water. And we're on our way down there that we might baptize the candidates that we have today. Saints of God, I thank you for your patience. Shall we all stand? Holy Spirit, thank you for the Phillips that are in our congregation today. My prayer and my hope today is that by the preaching of the Word of God, that there would be an increase in Phillips, an increase, men and women, boys, girls, little kids, that would make themselves available to be a fellow worker with the Holy Spirit. That some might plant, others might water, but in due season, God would get the increase. Today, Lord, we make ourselves available. We prioritize the way and the will of God. We set above other things the plan and purpose of God. We make our hands, our feet, our legs, our body available. Use us as you see fit, that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted. This is our simple prayer, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to have our offering by our sister Shanita Scott, followed by announcements by our sister Barbara Williams. To the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends, at this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor, that's T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73-256, and you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylorstabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor's Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, for one for your tithing offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Now we'll have Sister Barbara come and do the announcement. Good morning. Good morning. We're going to do an abridged version because our hour is late today. Amen. Hey, water baptism at 11:30 down at Christ of Calvary. We are at... That's a little bit better. Water baptism today, 11:30, Christ of Calvary. We have 10 candidates this morning. That's something to be excited about. Amen. Amen. Our Deacon Todd is asking all of those candidates to please meet him in the back of the church immediately following morning service. Amen. Amen. On next Sunday is back to school Sunday. Invite somebody out. We are going to celebrate the 2022 graduates, and their accomplishments, and the Celeste Williams Scholarship Award will be given out. Amen. Amen. Our graduates have made us proud this year. Amen. They all do, but they have made us proud this year. On the 27th of July, there's going to be a job fair. That's going to be the Public Health Campus at Cedar Job Fair. That's Wednesday, the 27th. The time is 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You have to pre-register to attend, and I have that flyer. If you need it, you can see me following morning service. And the address of that job fair is going to be 501 South 54th Street. Amen. Once again, that's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Great jobs on board. So if you are looking, if you just want to upgrade your job, hey, construction worker, construction project managers, case managers, security professionals, IT, nurses, behavioral health people, if you're looking for a job, please come out, because I believe it is 10 CHOP and PHMC are also looking for jobs. Last but certainly not least, on August 7th, Young Life Experience is going to have a joy day. We're not going to call it joy night, joy day. That's going to be at 2 p.m. immediately following morning service. It's going to be song and music only, and we want to come out and support Young Life in whatever it is they do. Amen. Amen. Govern yourselves accordingly. Candidates, please don't forget to see our Deacon Todd in the back of the church immediately following morning service. Thanks. Amen. Let us take the announcements and govern ourselves accordingly. Next, here you go, Pastor.
Okay. Court, I thought you were going to handle it. Take it out. Shall we all stand? Now, Mother Radcliffe, are the candidates getting dressed here, or are we getting dressed down there? Getting down there? So we're just going to pack up everything. We're going to head down. If you want to leave some belongings here, feel free. We'll secure the church. But we'll go down there. We'll get dressed, changed down there. They do have changing rooms for male and female, so we can accommodate that. And as soon as we can get everyone ready, we'll get started. I don't suspect, even though we have 10 candidates, I don't suspect the service will take long, half an hour, 45 minutes. Then we can come back and everyone can feel free to depart from here. Pastor Rogers did let me know they have a parking lot in the back of the church. And so if someone wanted to drive down there, you know, change your parking situation, park in that lot, he's going to leave it open. So I'm just sharing that with you. The lot is right behind their church on Larchwood if you wanted to do that. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for what is another wonderful Lord's Day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God, which is alive and working in us, both to will and to do according to your own good pleasure. So thank you for what you have done already. We thank you in advance for what you're about to do in the second service. Bless us, keep us, consecrate us against that day until you come again. Is our hope and our prayer. All of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor. One block down, Christ of Calvary Covenant Church. See you there.